God, our relationship with others, and our relationship with ourselves. It's a desire for wealth or possessions that overrides all other values, even our spiritual well-being. So as we've gone in these sermons and talking about these seven deadly sins, we're going to explore what avarice is. We're going to explore what its dangers are, how it manifests, and how we can combat it with the virtues of generosity and contentment and trust in God's provision. Pray with me. Holy God, we desire only to receive that which we receive from you. And we know that there are a lot of elements outside of us that seek to push us, and that there's lots of people to keep up with, and lots of things to attain, but that the only things worth having are from you, God. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to think earnestly about this deadly sin of avarice. In your name, amen. Avarice is an intense, insatiable desire for material wealth or gain. It is more than just the simple act of desiring things or earning a living. Avarice becomes sinful when the desire for wealth consumes us, when it begins to control our thoughts, our actions, and decisions. It's distinct from the basic need for sustenance. It involves an obsessive yearning to accumulate more, often at the expense of others or one's spiritual health. We're warned of this in a couple places in scriptures. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus warns us. He says, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." This verse lays the foundation for understanding the futility of greed. Later on in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 gives a stern warning about this danger. It says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." According to Scripture, greed, avarice, isn't just about money. It can refer to selfishness that corrupts our hearts, causing us to hoard not only wealth, but also time and resources and love. Avarice begins with discontent. When we focus on what we don't have, we become obsessed with acquiring more. And the more we desire, the less we are satisfied. And this creates an endless cycle. Can also spring from fear of insecurity, fear of not having enough, and fear of not being able to provide for ourselves and our loved ones. It distorts our relationship with God. Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, that no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Avarice, when we are consumed by it, divides our loyalty. If we become too attached to wealth, we risk serving it as our master instead of God. And this pursuit of wealth can lead to idolatry. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul tells us that to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, greed, which is idolatry. This is a form of idolatry because it places something other than God at the center of our lives. Avarice distorts our relationship with God. It also corrupts our relationship with others. It often leads to exploitation and manipulation and dishonesty. We see in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, a warning against hoarding wealth and the injustice it causes. It says, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you." The obsession with wealth often comes at the expense of others. When our hearts are consumed with greed, we are less likely to share with those in need, less likely to help our neighbors, and less likely to love selflessly. Avarice distorts our relationship with God. It corrupts our relationship with others, and it is spiritually dangerous. It can spiritually suffocate us almost. In the parable of the rich fool, this is Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, Jesus tells of a man who, after accumulating great wealth, decides to take it easy and enjoy life. But God calls him a fool because his wealth can't save him. This very night, your soul is required of you. Jesus also points out that our treasure should be in heaven, not on earth. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, he urges us to not lay up treasures for ourselves on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Distorts our relationship with God, corrupts our relationship with others, and it is spiritually dangerous. And it shows itself in a few different ways. The first is this personal obsession with wealth. It manifests in an excessive desire for money or power or status, and it might appear as an overemphasis on career or material success, even at the expense of spiritual and relational health. The pursuit of wealth dominates our time and energy and attention, and we begin to see everything, including our relationships and our faith, as a means to an end, through the lens of gain or loss. It also manifests in that it can lead to a lack of generosity. It leads to stinginess. When we hoard wealth or resources for ourselves, we fail to fulfill the biblical command to give to those in need. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7 teaches us that we should give generously, without reluctance or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Lastly, it manifests in selfish ambition and pride. It leads us to boast about our success and look down on others. The wealthy man in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, who prayed arrogantly about his wealth, contrasts with the humble tax collector who acknowledged his need for mercy. So how do we overcome all this? I believe it's by cultivating generosity and contentment. And we do that in, I think, 3 to 4 ways. Firstly, by repentance and renewal. We must confess our attachment to wealth and seek God's forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 promises that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and purifying us from all unrighteousness. We have to trust in God's provision. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we're reminded by Jesus that God will provide for our needs. We don't need to be anxious about material concerns. Trusting God with our finances and our future allows us to live with peace and security, knowing that he'll provide all that we need. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 shows us that contentment is possible. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. We repent and renew. We trust in God's provision, and we grow in generosity and sharing. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 reminds us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's the antidote to avarice. When we give freely, we break the hold that money and possessions have over us. Even if we look at the early church in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 35, they give us a model of generosity. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they have. Generosity and sharing, trust in God's provision, repentance and renewal, and also just seeking heavenly treasure. We're called to that, to store up our treasures in heaven. And that means investing in things that have eternal value, loving God, loving others, and spreading the gospel. Apostle Paul encourages us in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, to command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope and wealth, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. as we think about this destructive power of avarice. Let us not remember that it's not wealth itself that's evil, but the love of wealth that leads to sin. Avarice blinds us to God's provision, corrupts our relationships, and undermines our spiritual well-being. So let us strive to live lives of generosity and contentment and trust in God. May we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, knowing that everything else will be given to us in perfect timing. Pray with me. Holy God, we come before you acknowledging the power that greed and avarice can have over our hearts. We ask you to forgive us for the times when we placed our trust in material wealth rather than in you. Teach us to be content with what we have and give us hearts that are generous and willing to share with those in need. Help us to lay up treasures in heaven and to live lives that honor you above all else. We trust in your provision and we commit ourselves to seek your kingdom first. In your name, we pray. Amen. As we have done with a few of these, we're just going to enter another time of reflection. We'll have a slide up on the screen. Just a couple things to think about, to pray about, to converse with God about.